Good morning, everyone out there on internet land, and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church. We are here and we proclaim and know that God is good
all the time.
We also know that God has given us three commands, and they are the commands to which we live by, and thereby we live by the scriptures from the first word to the last word. We are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In these three commands, all the scriptures is wrapped up, and to He who is the Word of God, we give our lives that He may be proclaimed Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. Today, we're here to do just that. Today is a holiday. I spoke that to the church already, that today is a holiday, and many people don't realize today is a holiday. Today is Christ the King Sunday. When you look at the church calendar, that's why the altar pyramids are white. You can tell when it's a church holiday because the pyramids change, okay? They are either white or they're blue or they're red. Otherwise, they're pretty much green. So it's understanding. When you see those pyramids change, something's happening. And today, something's happening. Today is a day that I have looked forward to, and I've literally poured myself into this because Christ the King, what makes this a special day? Because we know Jesus is a king, right? But do we know why he's a king? What's going on? And understanding what that means to us and how all this pours out. And why is this day so special? Well, this day is special because this is the week right before we begin Advent, when our King would come. Can I get an amen? So we're proclaiming He is already King, but we're looking to His birth. We're remembering back, but we're looking forward to another day. He's already our King, but the King is coming. Can I get an amen, church? Because we are longing for that day, because on that day, all the world will proclaim that He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that's where we get to understand today why this is white. Because there's something holy and regal going on this Sunday. And today I hope to impress that upon your hearts. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. We are going to be in chapter 19. We're going to be in chapter 19, and we're going to begin in verse 11, and we're going to read through 16. Because this speaks of the coming of the Christ. Well, He's already come. Can I get an amen, church? He's already been here. He's now in heaven waiting for the day because He's already betrothed to His bride, and now He's waiting for the day when His Father says, go get your bride, Son, and then He comes and gets us. And then comes that 7 years of wonderful time for us, but hell on earth. And this is what the word of the Lord says concerning that second coming. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on His head are many diadems. And He has a name written on Him which no one knows except Himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following Him on white horses. From His mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it He may strike down the nations. And He will rule them with an iron rod, and He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on His robe and on His thigh, He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I get an amen from the church? We understand that day is coming when the King is coming back. He came the first time as the Lamb of God. He came the first time as the Savior of our world. Well, He's coming back as the ruler of the world, for Christ is King. Can I get an amen? That is today. That is what we are celebrating. But here in this scripture where it speaks of this coming, he's given another name, not just Christ the King, but he is the King of Kings. And I said to myself, Lord, we know that Christ is King, and I've often wondered what the title King of Kings actually means, because we can add a whole lot to it without much research, right? Well, he's the King of Kings. In other words, there's going to be all kinds of kings and rulers on the earth, but he's literally king over all of them. Well, how about if I told you it means something entirely different than that? Yeah, it does. It was so amazing when the Lord led me into this study, and I've been doing this study. This study was 14 pages, okay? And you get it in two. So pray that I get done in less than 50 minutes, Matt. This is a truth that I will hold to. What does the title of King of Kings mean? I want you to think about that, because in the Old Testament, we have that phraseology spoken of two kings, King Artaxerxes and King Nebuchadnezzar. They were called the King of Kings. Daniel called them King of Kings. What did he mean by that? Now, if you look at that, it's little k. But when they call Jesus King of Kings, it's capital K, capital I, capital N, capital G, okay? All capitals, which speaks of his divinity. But here on earth, we had kings of kings. What did that mean? Well, I want you to think about this, because the Romans also did this, because they saw what Babylon did and how successful Babylon was ruling the world. So they set their kingdom up to run the same way. And where did they get it from? Remember, God has established all kings and kingdoms, okay? This is a picture of what is yet to be from what was. Remember, there is nothing new, nothing under the sun. So all of a sudden we have to ask ourselves, well, what was going on in the Roman Empire? What was going on with King Artaxerxes and King Nebuchadnezzar, the Medes and the Persians? What were they doing? How did this work for them? How did things grow so big and wonderful? And it was a time of blessing for people throughout the world, even though there were times of war. But what we need to understand that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, Artaxerxes, the emperor of Rome, understood, if I make local regents and give them the headship of king over that area, but they pay tribute to me, I get all their wealth, I get all their stuff, and I don't have to rule them. They can feel like they're their own people. They just have to pay tribute to me. And that's exactly what they did. They set up kings all around so that this one king became the king of kings, that there were many kings who were under them, and all the peoples who were under them paid homage. I want you to think about this. We have a king, amen? And all the peoples are going to pay homage. But what does God have in store for his church? Man, I got goosebumps a mile high. Can you see them down there, Matt? I'm telling you. It is just amazing, because there is something coming for us, and I pray that each and every one of you understand just how important you are when it comes to this reality. Because God says here that he is going to make Jesus Christ the King of Kings. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Ooh. Pastor's fired up and I ain't even preaching yet. You know you're in for a world of hurt. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. God wants us to hear something. God wants us to understand why Jesus is called King of Kings. Why is this Sunday so important? Because we are not lacking anything. We have actually been gifted so far beyond this world, but this world wants us to forget what this day represents and what Advent leads us into. And this is what God showed this old pastor, and it's like, oh my goodness, how could we forget something like this? From verse 15 in Romans chapter 8. It says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Can I get an amen? You have no idea what you just amened, did you? Because what you just amened is the simple fact that as Christ is King, we are fellow heirs with him. We are children of the King. That is God the Father. Everything is under him. And Jesus Christ is going to be the King of Kings. What does that tell you you're going to be? You are going to be kings in heaven. It says in the scriptures that he is going to give us to rule and reign with him, some over 10, some over 50, some over 100, some over thousands. And that's talking about peoples and angels and all kinds of things. We are going to be kings and kingdoms. We are going to be regents here on this earth, you and I. Pastor, that can't be true. Come on, that's you're really getting out there with your theology. Am I? Let's look into this, puppy. I want you to think about this. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because I mean to tell you, when we look at what the Scripture says, God has given it all to us, but we got to put the pieces of it together. You know, I think we all forget, a puzzle has 1,000 pieces, and each puzzle has its own picture. Each piece has its own picture. Is it a complete picture? No, it's not until we get the whole thing together that it reveals to us what it's going to show us. This book is also a puzzle. We read one little scripture, but it's not until we start putting a picture together that all of a sudden we get a whole big different picture. I'm starting to lose my voice, Miss Jen. I better drink some water. Whew. This is a teaching that I pray you will never, ever forget. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. 2 Timothy 2, there we go. 11 through 13. Here is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. That being who? Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Verse 12. If we endure, we will also what? What's that word? Reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is telling us if we remain faithful with him to the end, when we're called home, we are going to reign with Christ. What does that mean to reign? That means we're going to have a position of authority. We're going to rule over peoples. You need to understand that God here, I want him to build this. I don't want to build this. God is building this. He's spoken this in his word. Like I said, there's nothing new today. There's nothing new tomorrow. Everything has been poured out already. All we have to do is find it again, because we have forgotten what we have been told, because our world has stripped it away. Because if it can make us forget, then we will not walk in the strength that each and every one of us has. And I want to bring this to your remembrance, that when we are going to be with him, we will reign with him. Kings reign over people. Amen? Kings reign over people. But we, like Christ, and by his power, will be more than kings. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Jesus is the King of Kings, and you're telling us we're going to be kings. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be more than kings. You have no idea what you're going to be. I had no idea until I started doing some of this study and refinding these things out and started looking at some of the other theologians who were looking at this, and they're saying the same thing. So I know I'm not nuts. At least I don't hope I am, because if I am, I'm not alone. And as I looked at this, I was like, oh my gracious, this is so amazing. Father God, what more are we going to be? What more are we going to be? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, please. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. Like I said, you're getting 14 pages of notes in two. For we are going to find ourselves in a wonderful place when God brings us to the understanding of what I'm getting ready to say to you and how it should affect where you are and what you are right now, today, every day, that the evil one's lies have no effect over you because you are already a king in heaven. And ladies, that goes for you too, okay? You are a king in heaven. Remember, God deals in the masculine, okay? Because what? Masculine has authority in the kingdom of God. You are going to have authority. The masculine is applied to you. Because we shall not be male nor female in heaven, for we shall not be given in marriage, because we have one groom, and who is he? Christ the King. And we are his what? Bride. Do you think us men should be upset that we're going to be called a bride? No, because that's simply terminology that you and I understand. When we get to heaven and we get the heavenly terminology, we're going to understand it a whole lot better. Can I get an amen from the church? Remember, he's talking to simple people with simple brains right now. What are we going to think when we get to heaven and we have a mind like his? Oh my gracious, he's going to straighten us out. But unto that day, let us be straightened out by the word of God. 1 Peter 2, beginning in the 4th chapter. All these things I've told you before, but as we put them together, we find the power therein. It says, in coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Can I get an amen for the blessing of our Lord? As we look at this word, what is it telling you and I? It is telling us that we are a royal priesthood. Okay, a royal priesthood. Now, I need to ask you a question. In the Levitical order, could the king of Israel be a priest? I got one elder over here very correctly shaking his head, definitively no. What happened to the one king who tried to give offering or tried to give sacrifice? I'm telling you right now, we need to understand. King Saul was removed from the kingship because he tried to offer up offering before they went into battle because, oh my goodness, the priest was late. And we also know that David wanted to give sacrifice, but knew his place, and said, no, I'll not burn incense on the altar. Because he knew if he did, he would defile the kingship and he would defile the Levitical order. You and I here are called royal priests. We are kings. We need to understand that. We are kings. In God's eyes right now, you are a king of heaven waiting to be put over the peoples that you're to be in charge of. But while we are here, we have that authority to work it out here in our world today. What do you think we're getting prepared for? What do you think this world's all about? It is preparation for what is yet to come. And we are a royal priesthood. We're not just priests. We're a royal priesthood. What does that mean about us? What does that say about you and I? It says the same thing about you and I that it says about Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us what all this means. And this is the part that I really want to sink home. You and I are something so amazing that it is impossible for us to not understand. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to realize, Pastor, how can we be kings? Well, how many of you realize that we're working for crowns right now? How many crowns are there in the scriptures? Does anybody know? I'm actually telling you if you're looking at me. There's five. Oh, good guess. There's five. There's five different crowns apportioned unto the people of God. Here they are. I don't have the scriptures, but if you look up these words in your concordance, you'll find them. The imperishable crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and the crown of life. There's five crowns that are spoken of throughout the Scriptures that we are all working on. And when we understand, it says to us what? That when we are in heaven, that we will lay our crowns at His feet. Why are we laying our crowns at His feet, Matt? Because He's the King of kings, and the kings give homage to the King. Can I get an amen, church? And as you and I understand, we're not just kings, but we're able to give up offering. We're able to give up sacrifice because we are priests. But we also need to understand something else. Now, wait a minute. How can that be? Because in the Old Testament, you know, they're not allowed to do that. What about before the Old Testament? Because what is the Old Testament? The Old Testament is the giving of the law, right? Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. What was before the law? Well, I don't know, Pastor. What was before the law? God. And when the law came, a new order was made. So every time a new order is made, every time something new happens, the law has to change. Because the law was, don't eat from the tree of the center of the garden. How'd we do on that? Yeah, we busted that one. So then He gave us 10 more. How'd we do on that? Yeah, we busted that. So then He gave us 613 more. How are we doing on that? Yeah, not so good. Then what did He do? Then He brought His Son, Jesus Christ, and our Savior was born. And we have stood under that now for 2,000 years. And let's give God a gloriful amen. Please, yes. We need to understand God is doing something here because He is giving us the crowns of glory even now that we know we are kings. Why are we working on crowns if we're not kings? But yet we're priests. Does the Scripture have anything to say about such a thing? Is such a thing true? Could it be true? Well, you know your pastor's not going to leave you hanging. So I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Turn to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in chapter 7. Hebrews in chapter 7. Hebrews in chapter 7. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, I have pared this down to the most poignant of the Scriptures so that you folks can follow. But if you will do your own study in what I am teaching you here today, in what I'm bringing to you here today, you will find that there is far more reference to this than I'm giving you now. But I want to get this across. I need to get this out to you folks out there too. Because if you are following Jesus Christ, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, if you are walking in the kingship of Jesus Christ, you too are a king and priest now. How can that be? A king can't be priest. We just established that. Remember, the law has to change. In Christ Jesus, did the law change? Yes, there is now no more sacrifice for sin. For the ultimate sacrifice has come, and He has established His kingdom here on earth, now, and in heaven, because He is in both places. His kingdom here on earth is us, working out the salvation of ourselves and mankind. The kingdom in heaven is set because He's waiting for the day when Dad calls Him out to get His bride. So we can understand that this is a pivotal two-point reality, that it comes from heaven and from earth, because Jesus Christ is King of both places, which again gives Him the right to be called King of kings. But the second thing that gives Him the right to be called King of kings is because we are ruling and reigning with Him, and we shall be kings. How can that be? How can we be kings? How can we be priests? From Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham and was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which means King of Peace. without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning nor days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. Now observe how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. And those indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest's offering have commanded in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is from their brethren, although these are descended from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham, and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In this case, mortal men received tithes, but in this case, one receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives on. And so too, speak through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arrive according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of the law also. For the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descending from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning the priests. And this is clear still, if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is attested of him, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Jesus Christ is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek had no parents. There's no genealogy when it concerns Melchizedek. We have no idea who his parents are. In fact, many theologians literally believe that Melchizedek's name was Shem. They believe he was the son of Noah, but they can't prove it. That is also the Hebraic Rabbinic teachings. For centuries, I'm talking Old Testament, they literally believed that Melchizedek was Shem, the son of Noah. And he had nothing before him. Why? Because God wiped it out. And he lives in eternity. Why? Because he was one of those who was saved and was declared righteous. And he lives where? In heaven right now, waiting for you and I to get there. Brothers and sisters, did I just not speak of the Church of Jesus Christ? Did I just not speak of you? God has blotted out everything from our past. It's gone. There ain't nothing there. Who's our Father? God. You know, the parents that we had, we hang on to that. He doesn't. He does not see that. He sees us. He sees us as adopted sons. He does not see our past. But what does he give us? He gives us an indestructible life in Jesus Christ. Did I just speak those words to you? Did I not just bring those words to you right out of God's word? Because who's he speaking about? He's speaking about you and I. Do you realize now how you can be a king priest? Because you and I, just as Christ is in the order of Melchizedek, so too are we in the order of Melchizedek because of an indestructible law. And who is the indestructible law? Jesus the Christ. We need to understand this is old, coming new again. We need to understand there is nothing new under the sun. God made a provision for us before the foundations of the earth. And when we start understanding what's being talked about here, we have every reason to celebrate Christ is King, because he is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you and I are here to glorify him, to raise his name up, and to bring others under subjugation of the King of Kings, not under us, but under him to which we will give homage and lay our crowns at his feet. And we will worship and we will plead, Lord, forgive us, for we have sinned. And yet we are kings of kings And that is exactly what our Savior did when He came into this world. He laid down His crown at the Father's feet, and He came to us, and He poured Himself out to us, who is lesser than all, but that we may be raised up in the glory of God. Can I get an amen, church? Do you understand your position now? Do you understand who you are? I want you to understand that law has changed because there is now no more sacrifice for sin. So yes, we have seen the change of the law. So now all of a sudden a new order comes in. And that new order is the old order that was before the new order, because it was established and it doesn't need to be changed. That's what Hebrews here is talking about. That Melchizedek was, Melchizedek is, and we too are in the order of Melchizedek. What does it mean to be in the order of Melchizedek? It does not mean we come under Melchizedek. It means that we come in the same way as Melchizedek. And that order was established by God the Father, because Melchizedek was a righteous king. He was the king of righteousness. That's what his name means, Melchizedek. It means king of righteousness. He was also king of Salem. The root word for Salem is shalom. What does the word shalom mean? Peace. He was the king of righteousness, the king of peace. Who do we celebrate? Jesus Christ, the king of righteousness and the king of peace. We know peace is coming for this world. We know righteousness is his name. You see, Melchizedek doesn't point to himself. Melchizedek points to Christ. Because when he offered up in that sacrifice, when Abraham offered up that sacrifice, what did Melchizedek bring out to him? What did Melchizedek bring out to him? Bread and wine. What does that tell us, church? Bread and wine. Communion had already been established before the foundations of the earth, and Melchizedek knew it, and he showed it right there. You and I are kings, and we are priests. We need to start acting like it every day and tell the evil one to go away. We have authority over him, for we are no longer of this world, which he has rule and reign over, but we are of the heavenly realm, which is under the rule of God the Father, Christ the Son, and his heirs with him. Can I get an amen? And we need to remember who and whose we are going into Advent, because this is a time of celebration unto the church, a time of rejoicing unto the church, a time of raising up unto the church and speaking the truth in love, that others may see that the gift of salvation is clear, that there is only one way to be saved, and that is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can we get an amen? Whew. My heart's going 100 miles an hour. I just preached that in 30 minutes. Can you believe I got all that out? Whew. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this Advent, I pray you are changed. I pray that you understand you've already been given the greatest gift of ever, that we are king priests, and that this world falls to our bidding. If we will but believe and walk in that truth and hold thereunto it, that nothing can defeat us. Eternity is set. We are indestructible. Can I get an amen? Now, we know this body's failing because we live in a failing body, but they cannot destroy the spirit, can they? No. So let us be these men and women of faith headed into Advent, not sorrowfully, but joyfully, proclaiming the light has come. For the people walking in the land of darkness have seen a great light. And that light is the light of Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you, for we know that Jesus Christ is the King. And more than that, Lord Jesus, you are the King of kings. And to you we humbly bow, and we lay our crowns at your feet. For Lord God, we do not do what we do for the crowns, but we do that because we love you, and we honor you, and we glorify you. And Lord, if there are those out there who want to understand the power and the might and the hope that is in these words, I pray that they search you out today, receive you in their souls, repent of their sin, and turn from their evil ways, and call upon the name of the Lord, that you will be saved. Father, we bless you for this word this day, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless everyone out there who has heard it, that they may take it forth and remember it, preach it, and live in the power of this word. In Jesus' holy name, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.